welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing a very, very special episode of the Deuce in honor of St. Patrick's Day. We decided that we were going to do what?
What was that accent?
That was my Jamaican accent.
Mm-hmm. Appropriate.
Yes. We're going to do Leprechaun 2.
Yes.
And we asked some guest to come on and discuss Leprechaun 2 with us, Court from the Cinema PsyOps podcast, and his much beautiful, beautiful wife, Bev. Say hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Yay.
Hello. Yay.
Now,
I love
the reason,
Bev.
I know. The reason we want to have you guys on, too, or we thought about this, because, you know, we were thinking about, ooh, we'll do Leprechaun for St. Patrick's Day. This is the only one that takes place at St. Patrick's Day. And we were like, okay, we got to do it. This is a perfect time to do it. And so we were talking about, like, if we wanted to have anybody guest, and you guys immediately came to my mind, because in the past we always would hang out at the St. Patrick's Day parade and we'd go to different events together and things like that. So, you know, when I think of St. Patrick's Day, I think of hanging with you guys.
Aw.
Yeah, those were good times.
They were.
I actually have my St. Patrick's Day mug right with me. So
nice.
Oh, is it full of anything?
It's full of energy drink. I should have a beer in here. This is wrong. It looks like green beer. That counts.
There you go.
That counts. That works. The we used to I think a couple times we'd make Irish food and bring it over to wherever, and I think I remember going to a local Irish pub and watching some bands, and it just being, we got there when it was fine, and then pretty soon right after that it was just cramped beyond belief. And I just remember having the England out of Ireland button that okay. Like every once in a while people were like a little touchy about, because
I figure they would be.
Yeah,
I'm a little touchy about that.
Why are you touchy about
that? I don't know, because everyone else was.
England needs to stay out of Ireland.
Okay,
there we go.
It never fails. Anytime we go out for St. Patrick's Day, if we're at one of those particular bars where it's particularly to be celebrating St. Patrick's Day, someone always wants to take a photo with me, and they think that because of my beard, I'm a quote-unquote true Irishman, and I get told that over and over again by people, usually extremely intoxicated. And I'm like, I'm Norse, guys, but thanks.
Close enough. It works. That day, at least, you're Irish.
Have you ever everybody's about Irish on St. Patrick's Day, if the Boondock Saints are to be believed.
That's true. Have you ever thought about dyeing your beard
No, don't do
red
that.
for the holiday?
I've actually considered dyeing it, because I'm starting to get those gray hairs popping up because old age is catching up to me.
What about?
And I've been considering dyeing it with henna and getting like a darker red going.
Glitter, like green glitter.
I'm not opposed to having a green beard, but the glitter part I'm not that interested in.
Why do people do that?
It's not that it's the glitter that bothers me. I just don't like the look of it with the glitter in the beard. It just seems unnatural to me. Like, if you made a beard out of glitter, I would be fine with that. But putting it into an actual beard, it just seems weird. I just don't like the look of it.
It would have to go everywhere.
It would have
to be terrible.
Yeah, just terrible.
Glitter's already herpes.
And all that glitters
world,
is gold.
So.
Yeah, right? No, don't be doing that.
It really is. It is a communicable disease, is what glitter is.
Yeah, right.
Bev, would you support the dyeing of Court's beard?
Yeah, I would support it. And I was going to say, he usually probably does get glitter by the end of the night on St. Patrick's Day.
Let's just leave that to the listeners' imaginations as to why.
I think it's because you're in the bathroom just rubbing glitter through your beard. I'm going to look pretty for all of them.
It feels good.
That has nothing to do with the tons of people covered in glitter that want to pose and do photos with me. Nothing at all.
Yeah, it's something minorly. They weren't covered with glitter before that.
No, it's because I had all the glitter on me, and then I put that on them.
That's true.
Apparently, I'm a glitter fanatic now.
We all knew it.
Oh, that's funny. Oh.
You had me at herpes of the crafting world, dude. Now I'm sold. I'm going to go start
herpes
buying some.
Herpes of the crafting world. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, enough of that.
We're
happy to have you guys here for our special St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, this isn't Glitter Talk? I thought this was the podcast, Glitter Talk.
Glitter Talk.
That'll be another spinoff for you.
We only have 2 spinoffs. Working on 5.
We're working on so many. Okay, so do you want to tell us about, Court, if you want to tell us a little bit about, remind our listeners, new and old, of Cinema Psyops?
Tell them a little bit about it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly movie review show where I experiment on the mind of an impressionable, I would call him a young man, but he's older than me and I'm feeling old as dirt. So on an impressionable man who just so happens to be extremely affected by some of the things that we show him. It started off with me showing him movies that I used to watch when I was a kid that were apparently too twisted and dark for him to handle as a grown man. And then we've evolved and had other people showing him films that they watched at far too young of an age. And we started doing the Bring Your Own Cinematic Trauma. And lately it's been a little more self-serving because the show consumes so much of my time during the week. I don't get a chance to watch the things that I want to watch normally. So I've started what I call the Movie Stack Jenga series in that show where we basically just give people a list of all the unwatched Blu-rays that I've bought and they've been stacking up over time and they get to pick from that list and then nice. We review that movie.
Very nice.
Yeah, and it's available on the Legion Podcast Network. You can find us legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops. We're in iTunes and Stitcher and all of those wonderful places. And you can search us through any of your podcatchers. You're going to find us. We're out there enough to where one of those aggregate feeds will pop up for you.
Nice. And now, and Bev has been with you on the show multiple times now.
Yeah, we've done two shows together.
The Burbs episode. She was great in that.
Yeah, just you.
Yeah, we did Burbs and we did Tucker and Dale versus Evil together.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yes. Yeah. Excellent one. And you know, I have to say, I think those are fan favorite episodes too.
People love it when she's on, especially when she gives me shit and calls me out on stuff and won't let me basically be my hyped up version of myself. She brings me back down to normal on those episodes.
Well, feel free to do that again, Bev.
I don't do that.
Yeah, you do. A lot of people too have accused those particular episodes of giving them diabetes because of how sweet they are. They got Wilford Brimley on us basically because that's how we are as a couple. That's how we kind of talk to each other. So some people think it's a little too saccharine and sweet, but we've had a really great response from that from a lot of different fellow podcasters. And I've had a few other guys that do other shows actually start having their wives show up on the shows a little bit more and do some stuff where they record together and, you know, kind of show their relationship dynamics. So kind of a neat thing to see going out in the podcast world, because unfortunately, this seems to be a man's game. There's not a lot of ladies that end up doing this. And I think it's important that we get some female voices out there.
There you go. Yeah, I agree.
Excellent.
Yeah.
As Bev, did you want to say anything, Bev?
Bev. Why don't you say something, Bev?
Silence.
After he mansplained that, why don't you talk, Bev?
Oh man, that's it.
Quiet, darling. The men are talking.
Now, Bev, did you have anything that you wanted to plug?
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right. Well, let's throw it.
I had so many jokes right there, but I just didn't say anything.
Well, let's do this. Let's throw it to an intro real quick, or a promo real quick, and then we'll come back and we will drop the deuce.
So after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am in
the most sincerest of senses disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. Oh, I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
It's unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this like little nerd glee with everything that kept
little history up. Doll yeah, popping up
absolutely.
At you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was.
How
be
did
a rough
you watch
one.
This shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And we're back.
And we're back.
So, yes, definitely, if you didn't hear Court earlier, definitely check out Cinema Psyops. Yeah. They're great friends of ours. So
what makes this episode extra special is that there's two couples doing this podcast, me and you
yep.
as a married couple and Court and Bev as a married couple.
Yep. It's like our podcast double date.
So it's our podcast double date. It's extra, you know, the diabetes is going to be really big on this one, I guess, you know, with the Wilford Brimley. So that's awesome.
Diabetes.
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 Bev, it's your turn.
I'm not a performing monkey. Didn't feel natural.
Doesn't She'll feel do natural.
This is the night.
All right. You guys ready to drop the deuce on Leprechaun 2?
Yes, I am. All right, so we open.
Oh, can I say that this movie open? Okay, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, you.
No, you.
Okay. sorry. This movie was directed by the same guy that directed Idle Hands.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you don't like Idle Hands.
I'm not a big Idle Hands fan.
And also
myself.
the Conan O'Brien documentary.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
His
documentary after he left the Tonight Show.
Yes.
Is that Conan O'Brien Can't Stop, I believe it's what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, very odd that he directed that, but hey, go figure. This movie came out in 1994. This movie opened the same week as the movies Holy Matrimony and Threesome. Just thought I'd put that out there. That seems odd that these were your three choices.
Was Threesome the one with one of the Baldwin brothers?
Yeah, one of the Baldwins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it was the Stephen Baldwin. And it has the line about sex is like pizza, even if it's bad, it's still good. It's in the trailer.
Whatever. Pizza, yum.
What a fine. They all had that staying power.
Anything else about this movie?
No.
Shocking
like
lack of Jennifer Aniston?
There's no Jennifer Aniston. Yeah.
Which I never
She's
thought
too
I
busy
would
getting
be.
A nose job.
I never thought I would be excited to be like, I wish Jennifer Aniston was this.
Right?
Is a rumor that he did Leprechaun in order to pay for the nose job to get her career. I don't know how true that may or may not be.
I have heard
that allegedly that is the case.
That might be right on the nose.
I get what you did there.
Yeah. All right, let's drop the deuce.
So we open on a like kind of an ancient Ireland, I think it's supposed to be 994. St. Patrick's Day of 994.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see a man who is just running at this point. He's trying to run from something, and we see he's wearing this kind of like silver collar, and he gets lifted up into the air and then just dropped to the ground. And then the leprechaun appears. So we get him pretty early on. So the leprechaun, played by the amazing Warwick Davis.
Uh-huh.
Which I was always a big Warwick Davis fan. I loved him in Willow.
You know, say what you want about these movies, and we will. We'll say a lot about him. But every time you watch these movies, you at least see that he's having fun doing these. You know
I completely
I mean?
Agree with you. That's the main reason to watch it is to see Warwick Davis chewing up the scenery and having a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, God, right?
And then when his voice came on screen, when you hear him laugh in that scene right after he drops the guy and you just see the shadow, Bev actually did say, is that Willow?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, and you know, I don't know. Like, I find it hard to... I mean, there's so much, and we'll get into it, but there's so much where you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
About this, the whole series of films. But, like, Warwick Davis, I'm always like, Warwick, you're fine, man.
Yeah.
Just, I can't stay mad at him. But the man who gets dropped on the ground is a guy who tried to steal the leprechaun's gold, named William O'Day. So the leprechaun ends up capturing him and makes him his slave, basically. And he goes, you think the leprechaun's going to kill him, but he stops and tells him to get up. It turns out it's his 1,000th birthday.
Oh, happy 1,000th birthday.
You look only 900 years old.
Mm-hmm. A lot of candles.
So it's his 1,000th birthday, and he is going to get to choose a woman of his choice to take as his bride. Apparently, he can only do that every 1,000 years. And so he promises William that if he can help him get his bride, that he'll set him free. So he has this little poem. I didn't write it down. It was like, she sneezes once, she sneezes twice. She'll be mine when she sneezes thrice.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's, she'll be my bride when she sneezes thrice.
That's there you right. go. She'll be my bride when she sneezes yeah. thrice. But yeah, so she has to sneeze three times. And as long as nobody saves her soul by saying, God bless you, she belongs to the leprechaun.
And I love the leprechaun limericks. Don't get me wrong. But I feel like the leprechaun went to the Nipsey Russell School of Creative Writing.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think is interesting about the series is every single installment in the franchise that I've seen so far is not really a continuation, where it's not necessarily the same leprechaun.
Because
the thing that affects him in the first one, and the things that he's susceptible to in the first one, and the rules that basically govern his existence as a magical creature are completely different than they are in the second one. And then in the third one, they kind of pick and choose what they want to bring in from both of the other films of what works and what doesn't work for his particular character. And it's like a skeletal frame of a really interesting idea of what they could do. And I think what these movies have been mired down in is low budgets, and then people that aren't willing to just go full force with the magical creature aspect. Yeah. And just wanted to kind of force it into that slasher pattern that you got in the late 90s, where everybody yeah. was trying to do this kind of style of horror film where it's a slasher and then he's just a slasher with magical powers is what they do with him.
It was a weird time back in like the early 90s for like horror movies.
It reminds me of like what they tried to do with like the Wishmaster movies.
Right.
Like where they were like, oh, it's genie stuff. And then like they would just do magical murder hijinks.
Yeah, it's like a monkey's paw with every wish that somebody tries to make. And he does do some trickster stuff that's kind of interesting with his magic, but it's mostly him, well, especially in the first one, it's mostly him just straight up murdering people in horrific ways. They do strip that out of the second one a little bit, but not nearly to the level that like you would expect whenever they're trying to go with the more magical stuff that they're doing here. Yeah. And this movie clearly had a significantly lower budget than the first one.
Yeah, but this movie felt like it was gorier than the first one, though. Much more than... I mean, he rips a guy's finger off.
Yeah, there is some significantly gorier stuff, but there's a scene in the first one where he pogo... He does a pogo thing. On the top of somebody's chest, and that goes on for a really long time. Yeah. If you see a more unrated version of that, instead of like the R-rated version of it, it's pretty brutal.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I like that there was this kind of like magical aspect, and I think it could have been much more dark comedy kind of a. I mean, there's those aspects of it, but I don't know. I think that it was one of those movies where they were trying to come up with a franchise and kind of find its place. And you know, I think they succeeded in some ways, but failed in a lot of others. So
it's like they never found the right tone or balance.
Yeah. Well, and I think it downplays it when you see him like dressed like very, I don't know, like if they would have had him in some garb that was not like, looks like he fell off of a greeting card, you know, I think that I could have dug it a little bit more, where I could have been like, oh, he actually is this mystical thing, instead of, you know, just like, he just looks like Lucky from the Lucky Charms cereal box, did a bunch of crack and went nuts.
Yeah, crack.
Which, by the way, would be a movie that I would watch too.
Yeah, I would watch
it. Even if you called it Leprechaun.
He killed her with a purple horseshoe.
Lucky, why?
So, anyway, but there's this girl that they're watching, and the Leprechaun, you know, is saying, well, hey, I'm going to make her my bride. Just got to make her sneeze 3 times. And William is kind of selfish. He's like, you know what? If it's got to happen, it's got to happen. Let's do this. And the girl takes down like some she's doing laundry at night and is taking things off this line in the middle of the woods. And you see it is William's daughter. So he's begging the Leprechaun not to go for her. Like, that's my daughter. You can't. And so he makes her sneeze twice. And William, you can see that he's upset. He makes the Leprechaun makes her sneeze the 3rd time. And William blesses her.
My God, I always sneeze three times.
You do. That's how I got you.
Am I a Leprechaun bride?
Yes.
Damn it, I knew it.
That's how we got together. I was like talking to somebody about you sneezing thrice.
It wasn't the length of my 4-leaf clover.
That didn't hurt.
Okay.
I just want to point out that my gate blocked out Bev laughing on your joke, but she did laugh.
Well, thank you.
All right, I'll go a little closer to the mic. There we go.
So the Leprechaun is obviously pissed. Because he's been waiting 1,000 years for this girl. So he uses his powers to the collar to pick William up into the air and then just snaps his neck. And he says, all right, man, I'm going to come back for one of your descendants in 1,000 years. That's when he snaps his neck. But basically he's just saying, I'm coming for your family line. I'm going to get back at you. And so he kills William. Who the daughter then finds the body and then awkwardly screams.
Revealing that she has modern day fillings, by the way.
Correct. She most certainly did. But not a modern day acting coach.
No.
She screams. And then I actually did like this. You see there's like a scroll in kind of the Leprechaun's nest. Where you see, like, drawings of the fairest maidens from that family line, like, through the ages. And so you see kind of the clothing changing and, like, the images, but they always kind of look very similar.
It looked like he was tracking it all the way through the mothers each time. Like, every daughter that was born and then whoever she became the mother of, if she had a daughter, he was following it that way.
Yep, that's what it looked like to me, too. And eventually, and there was a big gap. There was one where it was like a 1920s flapper. And then Bridget, who is our modern day O'Day.
Right.
Are we to believe that Bridget is a test tube baby then? Like maybe her mom froze an egg in some weird science experiment?
Very possible. It's humanly possible. Not really.
She screams all the time in this movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
No, but there was like a flapper, and then I thought there was some like 40s or 70s. I mean, there was like a big time gap in there at some point. And then Bridget.
Okay.
Which I was just like, oh, look, it's somebody from the past. And then I realized that that was our person, and this was actually filmed in the early 90s. So... We now are in present-day Los Angeles. Which, you know, I always think of when I think of...
St. Patrick's Day? Oh, yeah.
So we open on Bridget Callum, who is the descendant, and she's talking with her boyfriend, Cody.
Cody's a real treasure.
Yes. Who he is kind of grifting people into going on this tour of, like, it's like the haunted house tour of Los Angeles, of Hollywood. And so he's getting...
They do have those kind of tours where you can go and see all, like, places where famous people died and stuff like that, or, where the Black Dahlia was dropped off. I'm sorry?
Have you guys been on any of those tours before?
I've not been to L.A., so I've not been on a tour like that there. But okay. I've done ghost tours and things like that.
Nice. It'd be kind of cool to see some of those. And I think they awkwardly try to say certain things in this one. Like, I think they end up showing, like, Bela Lugosi's, the house he died in. It's just some little neighborhood house. Probably not even his. But Cody works on this thing with his uncle Morty.
Cody. Morty. Hey, Morty.
So, Morty, Cody gets everybody together in the hearse. And he's like, okay, give me a second. I'm going to go summon Morty, who is your driver or your guide through all of this. So now he apparently leaves these people sit in this car for, like, it had to have been an hour.
Right. What's his bucket? I can't think of his name right now. Clinton Howard?
Clinton Howard.
And Victoria Jackson.
No, it's not Victoria Jackson. I said that. I go, it's the generic Victoria Jackson. But it's not Victoria Jackson.
It's the gal who played...
Was she the lady from Twin Peaks?
Yes,
Twin Peaks,
she was the lady from Twin Peaks.
Okay, I always get those two confused because they're basically the same person.
Oh, they're the same
person. One's just like a discount clone.
Yeah. That is very true. What's her name? God, I can't remember what her name is. Kimmy Robertson.
Yes, Kimmy Robertson.
Kimmy Robertson. And so they go to Bridget and Cody go to get Uncle Morty. So Morty is three sheets to the wind in the bar, and he's drinking. He's drinking some other guy under the table.
What I say, like, Morty looks like a cross between Robert De Niro and Chris Elliott.
Yeah, I can see that. He looks like what Chris Elliott will be one day. And getting closer to all the time.
Yeah.
So he goes and gets Uncle Morty, who's drunk, and he needs to get driving. So the guy at the bar gives him, what do you call it? It was red rye whiskey. And it's actually Coca-Cola, like Coca-Cola and water.
Okay. Yeah, he cut him off for having too much to drink, and apparently this is a trick that this guy uses quite a bit for drunks.
Yep. We used to use, like, I know that, like, when we used to do theater, that was one of the things, like, if you wanted to, you could use, like, soda and water mixed. Or, like, my teacher used to use black cherry Kool-Aid.
Oh, yeah?
Do you know what we used? With no sugar in it.
You know what we used?
What?
Acting.
You've got to have something on stage.
No, we didn't. We were that good, we didn't need it.
You didn't need anything?
No.
Were you in a mime school?
He can't talk about it because that's the first rule of mime school.
Yes. I've been trapped in a box for years, though.
I'm just picturing him as a mime. Anyway, so they, the bartender gives a bucket of ice to Cody and says, hey, let's sober him up, because they're going to try to get him to drive. Always a good plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not happening. He's too far gone. So Cody, who was supposed to be going on a date to this go-kart place with Bridget.
That's usually what you do on St. Patrick's Day. Go to a go-kart. You know.
I wouldn't be opposed to that.
I would.
Why?
St. Patrick's Day.
Okay. So,
Bev, would you go on a go-kart on St. Patrick's Day?
Definitely not.
Thank you.
But I don't know. Were they, like, underage? I don't know how old they were.
I don't know if it's that they're underage. I think it's just that they aren't really celebrating St. Patrick's Day, the two of them.
Yeah, they're losers.
Well, yeah, their acting makes it sound like they are. Yeah,
yeah, that actually is pretty accurate. Yeah. So, but they're going to go to this go-kart place, so he ditches Bridget to go drive these people around. He says, well, you ride with me, and then we'll go. So they're going through and kind of doing the tour. And at one point, he's like, just, okay, hand me this card. Like, this could be done pretty quickly, right? But she's kind of tripping him up along the way, like handing him the wrong cards.
And she doesn't care.
She's pissed. She's just pissed. Point. I get it. She's pissed.
I don't.
It's super passive aggressive.
Oh, very.
And extremely bitchy, and it just doesn't make sense. They didn't establish that he has let her down a bunch of times before.
Yeah.
They could have just very easily had her go, oh, he's so drunk again, you're gonna have to break a date with me. And then that proves why she's so pissed.
Right.
This just seems like it's a mild inconvenience for her, and she's pissed at him and is not willing to forgive him, which is really shitty.
Yes. And it's not like he's not like he's doing the wrong thing. And he even said, get done with this and we'll just be done. And then we'll go. But apparently that was too much of a delay.
Yeah, whatever.
She's not going to get the good go-karts.
Cody.
There are no good go-karts. They're all the same.
Our hero, Cody.
Cody. Cody Ingalls, I think this is his name.
Cody Ingalls?
Cody Ingalls, I
like
think.
Like Laura Ingalls?
Yep.
Oh, geez.
Just like. So Cody goes through the tour, and he ends up taking her by the go-kart place, where she just kind of ditches him.
Talk about that friend of theirs was pretty rapey from the get-go, like right in front of Cody.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what,
Ian,
dude?
Ian was a little gropey.
You know they're dating, right? I mean, come on.
Now, I read that in some, incarnations of the script, they really hyped up the, love triangle kind of a thing between Cody and Bridget, and Bridget and Ian. Like, tried to have more conflict around that. But then eventually they were like, whatever.
Yeah, right.
And just rushed through it. So...
Yeah, he seemed awfully familiar, but I don't think he was necessarily overly gropey. He just seemed pretty, I don't want to say aggressive, just
he was
familiar, like
he
a
was
little
gross.
Too hands-on.
Yeah, he was grossy.
Yeah.
But,
his intentions
just because
really
the actor
clear.
Feels sleazy. It's the actor that's ruining it. Like, he just, his intentions and the way he looks at her, he just doesn't look at her like she's a human being. She's just like a fucking hamburger he's about to bow down on.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That and that's true though. Like the script itself doesn't make it like that. The guy is interpreting it that way.
Yeah.
It's
like they hired Billy Zane to be a guy doing a seductive role, and then he's just being Billy Zane and is just like, how you doing? And you're just like, oh no, Billy Zane, no.
No, Billy Zane.
Which I'm sure has heard a lot around the set.
Even around the set, Billy Zane's just wandering around.
Hey, yeah, guys. It's like a Billy Zane alert. They're like, you're being too Billy Zane.
You're being insane.
Ah. Yeah.
So Ian is kind of flirting with her. She's flirting back. Cody is kind of I'm out.
Then she just leaves him there?
Yeah. Well, they go and they do the go-kart, and he has to go and take them on the rest of the tour.
Yeah, but come on, Cody, you're kind of a puss.
Yeah, he just doesn't stand up.
Okay.
So, but he, you know, this guy, Uncle Morty, takes care of him, and they even talk about later, like, his parents died, so he's all Uncle Cody has.
Yeah,
really.
Okay.
So,
I don't know
meantime,
why I'm so anti-Cody, I'm sorry.
In the meantime, they're driving by... in the tour, and there's like a homeless person out there who kind of jumps out and scares them. And then he wanders off into the woods. So then we follow the homeless guy with his bottle of alcohol his whiskey that he drops or throws. I can't remember, but it's on the ground and we see the whiskey slide into this tree. This creepy tree.
I was hoping the homeless guy would not be the new character. You know, like Slacker, where we just follow the characters
follow
around.
Somebody around.
Yeah, it could be like Leprechaun Slacker.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
What? Would it be?
No, it wouldn't.
It's hard enough to follow the story that they got going on, let alone just constantly introducing a new character thread.
Well, the...
All set in Austin, Texas.
Oh, my God. So the homeless guy, his whiskey goes to the tree, and he's trying to pull it and fight the tree to get it back. And he finally kind of falls backwards, and that's when the leprechaun emerges.
Mm-hmm.
So the leprechaun comes out, and he spots a gold tooth in the homeless man's mouth. Now,
not before he takes time to talk shit about Canadian whiskey.
Canadian whiskey, yeah. You got to remember that.
Yeah, because he takes a drink of it, and he's like, this is an Irish whiskey. That's all the only real kind of whiskey there is.
Eh?
And starts, just complaining about the Canadian whiskey.
Canadian I would complain whiskey. About it, too.
If it's not Jameson's, it's crap.
That's right.
That is pretty true.
Or Bushmills?
I like Jameson better.
I'll accept Bushmills, though.
That's kind of dry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
But yeah,
I haven't Jameson's, had it in a while, though.
We're all agreed Jameson's where it's at. Jameson's.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not going to refuse it if you're offering.
They pay us an endorsement every time that we say it.
Jameson's. You're welcome.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me get back.
I got you a cocktail. I made it out of Jameson's. Oh,
let me get back to the deuce presented by Jameson's. He takes time to talk shit about the alcohol and then sees, this guy has a gold tooth and he uses his, basically rips it out of the guy's mouth. And he's got, he then washes his mouth out with the whiskey and like, chases him off. So the homeless guy goes running for it.
That actually made me wince when he dumped the whiskey on the stub of what was left of the tooth after he ripped the gold off.
Yeah.
went, ow, you prick.
I know, I was like, ooze. I thought he was going to do something worse. Because like he was tied down with vines from the tree. And so I was just like, oh, what's going to happen? Like, what's he going to do to him? But he let him go. And then we see other things like, of course, he summons his pot of gold, which just kind of appears out of thin air.
A pot of gold.
Yeah, and he adds a tooth to it. So he's got this hover pot that you know.
Where did he get this pot of gold from? Like Party City? Where did he get it from? Oh, that's what I want to know.
No, he didn't get it from Party City.
No, I'm just talking about the prop. Obviously, the prop looks like it.
Yeah, right.
It's and all the things that are contained within look like it was just. Spray painted with gold spray paint.
Yeah,
seems about right.
low budget, guys. Low budget.
Low budget. You have to aim lower. Party City.
They could only get Canadian whiskey.
Party City's a little too classy.
It wasn't even Canadian whiskey. It was off-brand Canadian whiskey. Where they actually pronounce about correctly.
It was like Ukrainian whiskey.
Charading to be a Canadian whiskey.
There's not even an H in it. It's just W-I-S-K-Y. Whiskey.
It's whiskey.
Why is this spelled wise key?
It's really whiskey to drink this.
Canadian whiskey.
So we see some other things like was it on the street, the leprechaun with the talent agent?
The talent agent guy, where he rips the guys.
Yeah, he's trying to divine where they are. He has like this whole scrying circle and like thing where he's like spinning the shillelagh around, which was cool. I was like, show me more of that.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah, because it was, I was like, oh God, he's got serious like witchcraft magic.
Yeah, right.
And then some douchebag talent agent shows up. And he's like, hey, call me if you're in whatever, like if you have some sort of a troop. And that's when he sees he has a gold ring on, and he just nonchalantly rips his finger off to take the gold.
It was really interesting when he goes to hand him the card. You can very clearly see the effect is already set up.
Yep, I saw that too.
But the way that they do that all in one shot where he brings the hand down and it's already ready to go and then he tears the finger off was actually pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, and it was, I noticed it too and I was just like, what's going on? Like, is something happening? Because I kind of knew then something was coming, yeah. But yeah.
Well, doesn't he say, ooh, finger licking good? Doesn't he say that? Or
he does say finger licking good. He licks the blood off of it. Yes. Says finger licking good. But I loved how it wasn't like an extended, like, tearing and whatever. It was just a very like smooth, like, oh, I'll take those fingers, thank you. Like, he just kind of gingerly rips them off the guy's hand.
And I think if the guy just gave him the gold, he would have just left him be. He's only mutilating him because it gets him faster to the ring.
Yeah,
he could have slipped it off of his finger, you know, or, you know, held him down and pulled it off, but he just tore the finger off because it's easier to get the ring that way.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it one point here, wait, maybe I didn't write that. Is this where Cody gets arrested? He gets pulled over?
Oh, yeah, yeah. On the way back, yeah.
Yeah. So on the way back, Cody gets pulled over. So he's at the police station. Mm-hmm. He gets thrown in jail. Morty comes to take him home. And this is when we first hear about... the homeless man shows up and talking about the leprechaun that stole his tooth. So, and of course Cody's like, look, Uncle Morty, you gotta clean up your act before you're, you know, that guy. So, Morty tries to convince Cody that, you know, don't worry about Bridget, forget about her, just get on with your life. But of course, Cody really cares for her. So he wants to go back and make amends for this, the way this night went down. Now, after the go-kart place, Ian, he takes Bridget home.
Yes.
And tries to convince her to invite him inside.
Well, he tries to win her over with a chili dog, I do believe.
Oh, yeah, he says he gives her a chili dog.
A chili dog equals sex, I think, to him.
He felt like he deserved whatever he wanted, even just for a few minutes, because he took her out and bought her a chili dog.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is the epitome of what everybody's been fighting against for this type of entitlement to women's body.
Right.
I think we were watching it, we were like, ooh, not cool, dude. Not cool. Like, dude. We were like, whoa, all right. But yeah, he wants something. He's really being aggressive about getting inside. Of course, she tells him, hey, sorry, shuts him down.
I'm dating Cody.
Yeah, she made him jealous, but she's not going to go that direction. So sure. She kind of shuts him off or shuts him down, sends him on his way. Now, as soon as she gets inside, all of a sudden, that's what it was. He ends up grabbing her arm and just trying to, like, forcefully take control of the situation. Calls her a tease and everything like that. And, of course, she punches him in the stomach, which, good for Bridget.
Yeah, hashtag, time's up.
I actually said, good for you, girl, right when she punched him in the solar plexus and got him to fall over.
Yeah.
And then ran up the staircase. And the next my next line was, ooh, I really love that staircase, Bev.
Yeah, he did say that.
Like, the way that the cement kind of rounded off around the edges to kind of like complete, you know, the steps where they, instead of just regular steps, they were like the different tiers. I really enjoyed that. And then I realized if you're looking at that, clearly this movie's not keeping your attention.
We'll be back.
And then I just felt sad for the movie.
Is it weird now that I want to go back and look at the steps?
Yeah. No, I think the steps had more character than Cody, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah.
So now he's kind of reeling from getting punched in the gut. And, like, she seriously has been inside for, like, 2 seconds. And the garage door opens, and she's inside.
Yeah, magically she's inside.
Yeah, like, this seems pretty weird.
Dumbass Cody's like, oh, hey.
No, Ian is the dumbass.
Oh, yeah, Ian, I'm sorry.
Dumbass Ian.
Dumbass Ian.
Your hatred of Cody is projecting him on every single man that's a prick.
It's true.
So Ian is like, she's in the garage and she says, sorry, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I'm really sorry. And she doesn't know what I don't know what I was thinking. And he's like, what are you thinking about now? And she says she wants to make it up to him.
Oh,
getting steamy. And of course, she's unbuttoning her blouse. And he's walking inside. And he hears, we see the leprechaun over to the side, who's basically controlling this, doing some trickster stuff. And we hear a laugh, but he doesn't quite know what it is. And he's still trying to get them to go inside. Because he doesn't like being in the garage. But she's like, no, let's do this. And she buttons her shirt, takes off her bra. And so, of course, he's moving in.
Yeah.
But then we see
that's
what
a completely different woman that they cut away to that's doing the breast replacements there.
It has to be. Yeah. No,
well, it's like they only film her, the actress that is, you know, playing the main character from the neck up. And then the shots of the breasts with his face closer to it, it's only from the neck down. And their skin tone doesn't even match. The naked breasts are that body is the skin is like way more tanned than her face. She's extremely pale compared to the body double.
Yes, that is correct.
So you were focused on the stairs and the boobs.
Well, the minute the boobs popped up, the movie went up in my estimation because I am a straight male, and I did say thank you, movie.
Well, you know, we're
getting I think I actually said, I said, woo, boobs.
I think that's the tagline of this episode.
I think we went, oh, boobs.
Boobs.
Oh, heavens, my dear. Oh, have some respect boob. For yourself.
Heavens to Murgatroyd. Anyway, the
exit stage left.
Even.
So the leprechaun.
So Ethan goes into motorboat.
Ian,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I hate this guy. I mean, he goes into motorboater, right?
Yeah, he's working his way there. But we see the leprechaun shows us that he's fooling him with this, like, vision. It's actually the lawnmower set up on its end. And the dual blades, I think, are her boobs.
I think so. Spinning boobs.
Yes. So
I think a warning for all men.
Never trust easily accessed boobs.
Exactly. Yeah.
It might grind up your face because it's a freaking lawnmower.
If you get closer to them and you can feel the wind blowing off of them, it's probably an illusion. It's lawnmower boobs.
It could be a John Deere. Who knows?
Just a sequel to Lawnmower.
Don't believe that your animal magnetism, the real lesson is don't believe that your animal magnetism helps a lady overcome the fact that you got gropey, grabby, and rapey all at once within 2 minutes earlier. Yeah, that isn't going to happen, fellas. You're about to put your face in a lawnmower.
That's fair. That is fair advice.
I really want to know, what happened to the chili dog? Did he drop it? Did it, you know? I just don't know.
I think they already ate it. They're returning from eating the chili dogs.
Yeah. Well, he works
just
at the go-kart
for a chili
place.
Dog. That's all.
He works at the go-kart place. That's how he got them in there, and that's how he got this, like, the food for them. Too.
We saw
like,
boobs, but no chili dogs. And that just, you know, kind of, you know, never mind.
Your food fetish is showing.
Yes, food fetish. Anyway, so
can we go back to the killer boobs?
Yes, please.
I'm trying
Let's talk
to.
More about breasts.
Killer boobs.
I'm trying Go. To. So she has these killer boobs. They're killer.
I mean, they're a killer boobs. They're a rack.
Anyway,
and what I mean a rack, I mean the country
so
Iraq.
The guy is inching closer and closer to what
dangerous.
We know are blades. And I was like, ooh, this is gonna be gruesome.
I know, me too.
Like I was kinda like, let's do this. Like I wanna see Ian's face just get pureed. And it then moves past all of it to the silhouette.
Yeah.
And I don't even think we see the silhouette do much.
No.
It's just like, you just see him getting close to it.
I thought the actual real girl was going to come out of the garage door. you know, like into the garage. I thought that's what they was panning to.
Oh, as the guy was starting to come in, like, kill himself.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome. Like, it goes to her and you hear her scream and she gets splattered with blood.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting.
That would have been at least something, right?
Well, it seems like it. I would have screamed because my boobs are now lawnmower.
It seems like it just let you down many times in very rapid fire. Like, you don't get to see his face get
pureed. Happens a lot in this movie.
You don't get to see his face get pureed. No, wait, we're going to show you a silhouette. Oh, you don't even get to see the silhouette of his face getting pureed.
You did get boobs, so there you go.
Well, there you go. You got some random woman's boobs.
Seriously, we've said boobs so many times, being me and you. We've said boobs.
I don't think we normally say boobs this much.
We don't.
Not since... No, not even in Deuce Bigelow do we say boobs.
No.
Are boobs the sponsor of the show, too?
Boobs. Brought to you by boobs.
You wish.
I would personally love to be sponsored by breasts. Or boobs. I'm whatever brand. It doesn't matter.
Brand?
Well, yeah. You know, you have Jameson. You have Bushmills. So
you got
breasts,
Jameson boobs and like...
boobs. Pick up a two-pack today.
Bushmills. Now in four.
Buy one, get one half off. Right.
So he's a cut above the rest.
Yes. So shortly after all of this that nobody hears, Cody shows up to Bridget's place and apologizes to her. He's got
why is he apologizing? She left him.
I know that. But the night did go awry, and he was, you know.
A whiskey and rye.
He was a part of that, so. Mm-hmm.
He's the man in the relationship, and therefore it's always his fault. And as soon as he accepts that, he'll be much happier in the relationship.
Does that track?
I'm rolling my eyes.
Yeah, that how that works?
Are you trying to score points after that breast boob brand thing?
No, I literally said woo boobs in front of my wife, and she's still with me, so we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's had to listen to this to you talk about the three B's how many times?
Yeah. Yeah, blood, breasts, and beasts. That's what you need to
movies. Bear beats bears boobs.
Battlestar Galactica.
Well, that's me. Bears and never mind.
It's bears beats and Battlestar Galactica?
Yep. For us.
That's
it
right. That is correct.
Fair enough.
And beats is BEATS, like sick beats. No, none of that.
And as long as you're dropping him, I'm good.
He looks so angry that I even tried that.
Boobs.
Cody, he shows up to the door trying to apologize. And at one point, like, Bridget's even, like, she's like, Ian, if that's you, I'm going to call the cops. Like, she's dead set against Ian. But it's Cody. He's brought flowers. And it causes her to sneeze. The second time she starts sneezing again, and you see the leprechauns, you know, he's all ready to go. Because this is what's going to do it. And she goes to sneeze the third time. Cody begins, he says gazoon tight to her the second time.
Sure.
And I thought, well, isn't that probably good enough? I guess I don't know what gazoon tight literally translates to.
Yeah, I think he had to say excuse me in English.
Yeah, say God bless you.
Yeah.
Well, why would it matter what language it was in? What does gazoon tight mean?
I know what gazoon height means.
What's it mean, really?
It means gazoon height.
Gazoon tight actually is God bless you in German. It is. It's the same thing. I think the reason that it didn't work on the leprechaun with his spell is because he's a horrible xenophobic bastard and will not accept other cultures.
He did not take German in school. But I was like, he said gazoon tight. Why doesn't that count?
Because he hates Canada, he hates Germany, he hates them all.
Yeah, it's true. So then the third time she sneezes, Cody begins to say, God bless you. But the leprechaun uses his telekinesis or whatever to wrap him up with the phone cord and try strangling with it so he can't say anything. He manages to get free, but then the leprechaun grabs Bridget and they fade away. They just disappear. But he loses one of his gold coins in the process, which like rolls and lands right between Cody's fingers.
Why did he bring the gold to the kidnapping? Was it just so he could pull the manacle out of there for her ring?
I think so. I think that was the point.
If he knew this is what he was going there, why didn't he just bring that? It's a plot device. Never mind. I'm going
to
shut up now.
He's a show-off. Well, he likes to show off his pot.
But that's the other thing, is the gold disappears and reappears, like into whatever pocket dimension it comes from. So why didn't it just go there? Why did he have to reveal it? I don't know.
I think you're trying to make more of this movie.
I think we are. I really think we are.
I don't know why I need to have a movie that is about a leprechaun stealing a human bride to turn into a leprechaun bride through the use of her sneezing three times. Why I need to start applying logic to how his disappearing, reappearing gold works.
I've once heard this leprechaun, not in this movie, but in another movie, say, "A friend with weeds, a friend indeed." Was that in Lep in the Hood?
Yes. It's actually, I think it's Lep Back to the Hood.
Oh, it is Lep Back to the Hood?
I think Ice-T was in Back to the Hood. Those are the two best ones of the series. Because they know exactly what they want to be. They're just like, you know what, fuck it, let's have fun.
Those were, you know what, though? Those have been, those are the two most highly rated. Like, on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff like that. People go nuts for those. So the leprechaun, at this point, has taken Bridget to his lair.
Yes.
Which I kept calling it the nest. Like I thought it was more like a nest.
I think I kept calling it. What's her bucket? From
it's actually the old Keebler factory. He had them all evicted and then moved in.
I think I called it Kirstie Alley's vagina, didn't I?
Yes, you did. You did call it Kirstie Alley's vagina.
That explains all the spacious room in there.
That's why we called it that.
That's why we called it that.
It was exactly why we called it that.
I think when he poured a drink, I said, "Cheers."
Yeah, he did. So the leprechaun takes Bridget to his lair and invites her. Basically, he's saying that he's going to, he was going to make her his bride, and he was going to have children with her. We'll need to change what you look like and do all this stuff. Like he's being a creepster. And
this is very creepy leprechaun.
Yeah. At one point
he actually talks about how he's going to perform some kind of surgery on her stomach.
Yeah. Right.
And then he's going to carve up her face to make her look more like him, because that's the only way that the children will suckle or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
It's serious Buffalo Bill shit going on there.
I think it's it's very weird. Yeah.
Well, and he starts doing that where he starts talking about how he'll have to modify her womb after he, wraps her up in a blanket.
Something about lotion in the basket. Yeah,
and she can't move. So she's basically, tied up and just laying there immobilized when he shreds part of the blanket and he's looking at her stomach and nope, we're going to have to modify that so you can bear our children. And
this is very creepy and very slimy.
Yeah.
He's not taking a wife. He's creating breeding stock, basically. Yeah.
And when she asks why,
"Kiss me, I'm Irish," and then he spits on her, kind of in a way.
He says, "Licks her." Something about "kiss me, I'm Irish," and he licks her face, and a bunch of goo pours out onto her, out of Warwick Davis's mouth. Right.
The best part about that was the forked tongue effect. I really like that forked tongue. It looked very cool. Too.
That was pretty good. So, and of course he's saying that she's going to be constantly in pain, but she'll get used to
it. Well, yeah, she's in this movie.
That's true.
It's still on her IMDb. That's why it's constant.
I'm in constant pain watching. I can't get rid of it.
But he's like, "Hey, check out my hot gold." And he's trying to show off, his gold to her, but that's when he figures out that he's missing a piece. And he starts freaking. So he is going to go after Cody because he's just certain he has it. Now, Bridget, in the meantime, convinces him to untie her, saying that she wants to look pretty for the wedding night because he's her husband now and she wants to please him. So he gives her this red wedding dress, tells her to put it on, and then... That's when he licks her face.
Yeah, that's when he licks her, yeah.
And so he says, you know, you're going to want to try to escape, but don't, because it's pointless. Don't even try.
He says something about how his house is magical or something like that, and it won't let her or something along those lines.
Yeah. Which I think is kind of interesting, and we get to see a little bit of it later, although they do it in kind of a goofy comedic way.
Yeah, all it needed was yakety sax while they're running around later on.
Yeah. Correct. So while the leprechaun's gone, Bridget tries to find a way out of the lair. And of course, he's right. It's enchanted, so basically it turns into a maze on her. And she also runs into, which is the only time they really show this, the lair actually, there's like an illusion, and it looks like it's her house. And so she sees like what's going on there. She sees the police who think that
Cody
killed Ian.
Yeah.
And so they're going to go after him. So she goes through the door again, but when she does, she goes right back to the leprechaun's lair. And I thought that was kind of they don't really use that again, and I thought that was dumb. Like, you could have made something cool out of the fact that the lair can look like anywhere.
Well, what did Bib say? Budget, guys. We're working on a budget.
Yeah, it's true.
That is very true. Once again, Bev, you are so
wise. You're the smartest person in the room, Bev.
Definitely in this room.
It's because they have boobs.
I do not disagree.
So she gets pissed.
But are they boobs that have propellers on them? Like, you know, like lawnmower.
Lawnmower boobs?
Lawnmower boobs, you know.
A true lady never tells, guys. Come on.
So Bridget, who's now lost in this nest, she comes up with a plan. So she takes the blanket and she starts gathering rocks up. And I thought, cool, she's going to make a weapon to beat the leprechaun to death with.
Right? Like a old school blackjack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Take your sock off, honey. You got yourself a weapon.
Yeah.
You throw
rocks
in there.
And so so she's using them to, like a Hansel and Gretel thing. She's going to mark the path so she can see how she gets out.
Okay.
So a couple points to this I had were, first off, you're really putting those very too close together. Like, you only have, like, maybe 20 rocks, and you already put all 20 of them down in about 3 feet. Like, I don't know how far you think you're going to get, but no.
She's like an ant. If she loses that chemical trail, she'll never find her way back.
And she'll have to puke in somebody else's mouth. But as soon as she puts it's pointless anyway, because as soon as she puts the rocks down, like, they art cloaky, like, claymation disappear, like, stop motion. They all disappear, so now she's without rocks and without a way out.
Well, that was pointless.
Yeah, I think it's a plot device to reveal the next step anyway.
It is true. That is true. So then she turns around, she's pissed, and she kind of kicks at the ground and finds this box that's kind of partially buried. And so she digs the box up, and there's just a bunch of crap inside of it.
Yes.
For the most part. Although there was it looked like a gold pipe that I thought was kind of interesting.
This is kind of a callback for leprechauns being cobblers, and I think those are cobbler's tools that are in there.
Yeah.
And cool. I think he buried them because they're more precious to him than just his gold, and this is a place to store them.
Yeah. And he even says, like, later on, he talks about some of that. But
so what's the difference between a Keebler and a cobbler?
One makes cookies, the other one just fixes shoes.
Oh, okay.
And apparently evicts elves.
Get out of my tree.
Quick, you're gonna set it on fire making all those cookies.
The fire
this
hazard.
Is my tree now. Your cookies will go somewhere else.
So she, out of all of that, she finds an awl, which she hides so that she can kill the leprechaun with it later. She's thinking ahead. So
not dumb. She's actually the smartest character in the movie.
Oh. I feel so sad now.
Yeah.
That she's the smartest character in the movie?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one.
Yes.
It's like maybe Morty, but he's too drunk to really know what he's doing, and then he's too selfish, so it kind of defaults to her, which is, it's kind of depressing now that I think of it. I'm sorry.
Gosh, no, that's okay. I was just crying over here.
So, anyway, the police that had gone to Bridget's place, so they are all after Cody at this point, because they found the flowers and the note, and they find Ian, and she's missing, so they're all after Cody. So Cody goes back to Morty's house, and he actually sees Morty with the cops, and he kind of shoos him away. Once the police leave, Cody talks to Morty, tells him about the leprechaun, and like has this book that basically tells him all the lore that goes with it. And of course, Morty just thinks he's nuts at that point.
I don't know, Rick.
You got him backwards.
Oh, Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
Do Morty's your Rick and Morty.
What?
Do your Rick and Morty.
I don't want to do my Rick and Morty.
Oh, come on.
I'm not your performing monkey.
Ah, yes.
Bev, will you help me with that?
What, the performing monkey?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say about that?
Yeah. Yeah. What do you want her to say?
I just want to hear her
you
say
said
it. I just want to hear you say it again.
What, you said it. You.
Well, come on.
Okay. I did. I agree on it. Yeah. You're not a performer monkey.
Thank you.
But you should do it.
No. Anyway, so Morty.
It's your show, so I think it's normal that you do silly things.
What am I supposed to do?
Your Rick and Morty impression.
Oh, Rick. What are you doing, Rick? That's all I got. That's my Morty.
Okay.
Now you are a performing monkey. Way to go, Jeremy. Pressure.
You knew it was already true. It's been a performing monkey for years. So Morty and Cody go to a bar, of course, which is filled with little people dressed as leprechauns. And there's even this weird, like, he's in the bathroom. And Tony Cox
from Bad Santa shows up.
Yep.
Yeah, that's with an awkward exchange.
Yeah, and he's like really super happy.
Like way happy.
Yeah, his eyeballs are just like jumping out of his skull. It was
yeah.
Weird.
It had to have been.
I think he was tripping out is what they were getting at.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he might have been on some drugs.
And he had like a little pot of gold filled with like chocolate coins.
Sure.
So never take chocolate coins from people in the bathroom.
Why would you?
I know. Especially somebody who you saw just come out of the toilet.
Yeah, that's weird.
Not a good plan. Anyway, but there's...
Also, if you're a little person, why, like, wouldn't you avoid going out on St. Patrick's Day?
At least dressed like a leprechaun?
These folks might actually be getting money doing what they're doing, where they get paid to go out for the parade and hand out chocolates or whatever events are going on. And this is them at the end of the night coming to one bar that is less crazy for St. Patrick's Day. This is the least fucking crazy bar I've ever seen on a St. Patrick's Day.
That's true. That's really true.
So now at this point, Morty is sitting at the bar. Cody comes and talks to him. And I actually like this part. I thought this was kind of creepy because Morty goes, "He's here." And you look down the bar and he's just sitting at the other end of the bar. And like, I thought that was suspenseful because I was like, ooh, he found them. And Morty's very like nonchalant about like, he's here, or like, he's kind of, he almost sounds a little tense about it. I thought that was a good part.
Morty was doing the guy who plays Morty is basically the best person as far as acting goes in the entire film.
Oh, yeah.
And Sandy he totally Baron? Carries it.
Oh, Sandy Baron acted for many years on various shows. So, like, that guy has a lot under his belt. So, This was towards the end of his life, if I remember.
Especially at the end, he had a lot over his belt, too. But that's, you know.
Yes, he did. So now Leprechaun is there. He's sitting at the other end of the bar. And at one point, he just kind of teleports down to their end. Morty challenges him to a drinking contest in honor of his wedding. He says, I guess it's a rumor that leprechauns can't hold their liquor. I guess it must be true. And the leprechaun's like, screw you. No, it's not. I'm going to do this. And he kind of reluctantly gets into it, but then all the other little people cheer him on. And they do the whole one of us kind of thing.
Yeah, kind of like the movie, The Freaks.
Todd Browning's Freaks, yeah. Yeah.
And
I think that was intentional. I think that was kind of a wink and a nod, which is kind of offensive for the little people because they're not freaks. They're just little people.
Yeah exactly. And so they're going to have a drinking contest. They give the leprechaun Irish whiskey. And Morty takes the red rye, which is the Coca-Cola and water mix. So they're having this drinking contest.
Yeah.
And the leprechaun is tore up from the floor up
yes.
at one point.
This is my favorite part because he says, pour all you want, pour all you can. You won't beat me because I'm a leprechaun because he's so drunk that he can't rhyme it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I love that. I love that part.
And then at one point, like, he kind of realizes what happens and he goes, you see him like turn his head like he's trying to make his telekinesis work. And an ashtray picks up and just slowly, wobbly, kind of hovers down towards their end. And you just watch it, like, Cody just watches it, like, hover past him very slowly. And then it just drops on the table. Like, he's done. So,
well, that happens right after Morty says that he caught him in order to try and get those three wishes.
Yeah.
And he wants to use his magic so that he can get away without having to succumb to that. And you were talking about the where he's so drunk he gets the rhyme wrong.
Yeah.
My favorite rhyme in this particular movie is at the start of the drinking contest where he says, drink what you want, drink what you're able. When you're drinking against me, you'll be drank under the table or something along those lines. I just really like that one.
Well, then Morty says, did anyone tell you not to drink and levitate?
Oh, he does say that.
Yeah. That was pretty funny. That was probably Morty's best line.
Yeah.
So they're trying to catch the leprechaun, but even drunk, that thing moves. So he got away. And he ends up, we find the leprechaun at a coffee shop then, where he's just drinking espresso after espresso, trying to sober up. And Mike McDonald from Mad TV, who is consistently making jokes about his size. Like, he's making, like, short jokes.
Oh, yeah. Really terrible jokes. I think you kept going, yeah, go ahead, kill him. That's fine.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool, kill him. Like, it's do us all a favor, just end him. And, you know, it's normal. Like, I'm not a big Michael McDonald fan. I'm not a big Mad TV fan anyway. And so most times when he's on something, he kind of irritates me. So I was just like, yep, this is Mad TV level craziness.
It was really interesting to see him at such a young age, though. I cannot recall ever seeing him so fresh-faced and doe-eyed looking.
Yeah, right. But you can see still, he still had that same almost like humor level or the things that he did.
Yeah, that weird kind of look and humor.
Yeah, the way he like screamed and like did stuff like they would on Mad TV years later. So
I think once you develop a particular style of comedy, you stick with it because you know what works for you.
Yeah, that's true. So the waiter asks for the leprechaun to pay, and of course he thinks he's going after his gold, so the leprechaun like sticks his hands to he stabs his hands to the table. And then the cappuccino machine, the steam, portion, like vents, like turn, and just basically steam him to death.
This was actually the most brutal death in the movie because you actually watch parts of him melt away.
Yeah, you do, and his face is bubbling and bloody, and yeah, he was the most gruesome. Meanwhile, so Cody and Morty head back to the go-kart racetrack where Ian had worked. Since he noticed there was a, they're talking about like what stops a leprechaun. And one of the things they came up with and that you saw him kind of react to earlier was wrought iron. Like the wrought iron burns the leprechaun when he touches it. And so he said, Cody had pointed out that there was a big safe in that office that was on wheels made of wrought iron. And so they're going to use it and try to trap him or try to, you know, try to capture him for the for them wishes.
How much more of a plot contrivance can you make than having a safe be placed on wheels? The whole purpose of a safe is to make it less mobile, to keep it, I don't know, safe.
Well, you know, you might need to move it around the room. Or
yeah,
but
if you can make it to where it can be moved around the room, all you need is a ramp when they already provide the 2x4s in the back of the place. The whole contrivance of them putting him in the safe when it's on wheels is just hilarious to me.
Well, clearly, though, clearly it's okay because they mess around with this idea of getting the 2x4s for a ramp, what seems like forever. Like, they cannot get it ready to get
in
there.
The dog will be the guard. Andretti, the dog? Come on.
Dog's okay. He's all right.
Yeah.
Andretti, the dog?
Andretti, yeah.
So the, while they're going through this, the leprechaun shows up and, he is like going after Morty. At one point there's a guard shows up and, I think Morty hit him. I'm trying to remember how the guy went down, but, the leprechaun hits him. And Morty had been already handcuffed, and so he's just wailing on him, too.
Yeah.
And so then Cody comes up with a plan. He basically gets in front of the door and says, you know, come and get me by Andretti's, like, doggy door.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's got the safe behind it. So when the leprechaun runs through the door, he runs right into that safe, and they lock him inside. And you see him kind of getting burned inside of the thing, too.
That was really cool practical visual effects, too, where they had the lights that showed up anywhere he touched on what was supposed to be the safe walls.
Yes.
It looked like they might have put a light bulb and they were moving it around where his hands were supposed to be.
Yep.
But it was really well done, and it actually made it look like the heat coming off of him from being burned by touching it.
Yep. No, I liked that. I thought it was cool the way they trapped him. I honestly was just like, cool, now bury the safe. Like, I was ready for them to, like, encase it in something or do whatever, like, put them away forever.
I also want to point out, too, that the whole him being burnt by iron thing, when they first reveal that in the movie, I flipped out because I have that whole, like, fairy lore thing that I really enjoy from being a Mike Mignola fan, you know, with Hellboy and everything. Yeah. And the Fae and their ilk that can be harmed by iron, as soon as he touched iron and got burnt, I went, I got super happy.
Yeah,
it even made them kind of chuckle at me.
I enjoyed that it was something simple like that, too. I mean, it to me, that was more along the lines of lore than like some of the other things that we've seen with these.
Court had me at fairy lore.
No, that's one of the things that I really liked about this particular movie is it's the closest to the lore of the Fae that leprechauns fall into for a lot of your like folk tales and things, that iron is something that they're weak against and you can use to hurt them.
So, at this point, Cody's going to go get the 2x4s to get the safe into the hearse. But when he goes in the back room, Morty locks it. Morty locks the door on him. Because Morty is, at heart, he's a con man.
Yeah.
And so he wants those three wishes. So his first wish was for the leprechaun's pot of gold, which he basically makes appear in Morty's stomach. And so he's got this big, what looks like a giant pot of gold in his stomach, distending it.
That was gruesome. I really like that effect.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I thought it was going to rupture out of it.
Yeah, it felt like it.
And then when it didn't, I was like, that's almost worse. Like, that it's just still inside and he's alive.
And the guy playing Morty really, you know, hams it up and does a good job. Right.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, so, he sells it really well. Yeah.
Now, personally, I think this second wish is a little bit of a ripoff. Because Morty's like, make this stop. And he says, okay, well, you have to wish me out of the safe. And when he wishes him out of it, it basically, he still makes Morty open the safe.
So you're saying that doesn't count because they still, they still have to do it.
Yeah. But then finally he's like, he tells him to get the gold out of me. And the leprechaun,
like maybe a wish loophole to get around that one.
Yeah. So leprechaun grants his wish by cutting Morty's stomach open and taking the gold out, which has no blood on it whatsoever. But he takes the gold out and killing Morty. Morty begs for help.
His blood's probably pretty thin.
Probably. It's mostly gin. The leprechaun, he watches Morty die because Morty runs out of wishes, and so he won't help him.
Bev, what would you have wished for?
I don't know. More wishes, right?
Right.
That's the first one everybody always asks. I want 100 wishes.
Yeah. Well, I always thought when he like grabbed him at the bar that, you know, he captured him. Shouldn't he have gotten a wish there, but that's, I guess, true. He wasn't totally captured. I don't know.
I don't think he really got a hold of him. Like, I think you need to have him completely under your control.
Like, you got to control him.
Just like how they have he has the collar on the humans.
Mm.
Like, you have to have them under your control, and he really wasn't. He was just with them.
It was a plot contrivance so that they could use the other plot contrivance that they already set up.
Plot contrivances galore.
This movie should really be taught in screenwriting 101 on what not to do to move your story along.
Yeah. You kept saying plot. I was like, wait, this had plot?
It's true.
Well, it has a plot which is contrived constantly.
Gotcha. By the way, do you know there's an alternate title for this movie?
Is it plot contrived?
Plot contrivances. Yeah. Boobs, plot contrivances. No, it's
boobs, plot contrivances.
No, it's
boobs, and plot contrivances. The story of court psyops.
Do you think if they would ask for every day to be St. Patrick's Day, that he would grant that wish?
Ooh.
Yeah, but if every day is St. Patrick's Day, it's no longer special.
Oh, it'll be special.
Spoken like a true Irish woman.
But okay, so if he's all tricky about that, how do you know he won't just make you Groundhog's Day, St. Patrick's Day?
Where it's the same day over and over again.
Yeah.
Or
there's always a monkey's paw way out of that that's cruel and evil.
You disappear and you only ever show up on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Or he makes you star in the movie Leprechaun 2.
That's true.
Ooh.
That's what happened to Bridget.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's what happened to Cody.
By the way, the alternate title for this movie was, I think it's in the UK, was One Wedding and a Lot of Funerals.
A Lot of Funerals?
I think it was supposed to be a playoff of Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Okay.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Is that real?
Yeah. That is correct. Huh. I looked it up. It seems about as lame as what I would expect. So I'm going to guess with correct. I'm sure it's right.
God. This movie.
All right. So Cody gets out of the storeom, and this, like, kind of the security guard from earlier, he shows up and he realizes that he sees Cody and he thinks that he's the one who murdered Morty. So before the guy can arrest Cody, though, the officer gets lured onto the racetrack, like with the go-karts. He gets lured out there by the leprechaun, who is impersonating Bridget. And now he has his own custom go-kart.
Yes.
Which has some interesting things. Like, it has blades on the front of it. It has like a
four-leaf clover with no... like.
Yeah, that's the one thing that confused me. It has like a four-leaf clover, and it has like the... I never know what that means. The anti... or like the Ghostbuster symbol.
The Ghostbuster symbol.
Circle slash just means no.
Yeah, I think it just means no. Yeah.
I can explain why that was there. I think that's a reference to the first movie.
First movie, yeah.
In the first movie, they use a four-leaf clover to actually trap and contain him within that crate for however long, whenever that guy gets his gold.
Yeah.
And so I think that was kind of a reference to, you know, no four-leaf clovers, screw you.
Yeah, I can see that. But he has his custom go-kart, which I think maybe they were banking too much on the action figures. So he has his own custom go-kart.
Did they make action figures for this movie?
I don't know, but that'd be fantastic.
I want that.
I do, too. So he runs down the guard, kills him, and he still is attempting to go after Cody, who has his gold coin, but he only gets close and then stops. Because Cody realizes as long as he's holding the coin... The leprechaun can't harm him.
The leprechaun can't harm him.
The leprechaun can harm him. The leprechaun can.
So
the leprechaun can't harm him. And so he's like, "Ha! All right, this seems like a good plan. I'm going to go right into the leprechaun's lair."
Right.
Boom. Yeah.
That seems smart,
perfect
Cody.
Sense. So the leprechaun, who Cody forgets can teleport, also returns home anticipating Cody's going to show up. And, of course, Bridget has her plan going.
Yeah, she's just going to scream her lines.
Well, right
That's
now,
her plan.
She's in her dress. And she's got her hair all, like, ratted out, which I think was supposed to be sexy. And
she also had glamour makeup done without having any makeup anywhere around her in that particular place. So they did her hair up, and they also put on glamour makeup.
Look,
prepped all of that.
It was a three-hour tour. Okay, a three-hour tour.
She had glitter from Court's beard that she gussied herself up with.
I have no idea where that glitter came from. I'm pleading the fifth on this.
So she pretends to have given in. Like, she basically is like, "Oh, I'm all into this all of a sudden." And the leprechaun kind of gets disarmed by that because nobody's ever done that to him. And so he is distracted. And she attempts to stab him, like, in the head or the neck with that awl that she had. And it bends. Like, it bends and breaks.
Much like the plot.
And because it's not made of wrought iron, so it ends up breaking, which pisses him off because his father gave it to him, I think is what he said.
Okay.
Yeah, he did say that was a gift from his father.
Yeah. So he's going to hurt Bridget, but he stops because he hears Cody arriving. Because Cody traveled like a dumb human all the way. And so he ends up taking her collar, which I thought this was kind of creepy. He, like, takes her collar, and it opens and kind of... it wraps around her neck and, like, a branch from, like a tree in his nest. So she's stuck to it now. Now, Cody, he's running around trying to find Bridget.
Oh, I thought you were going to say plot.
Well, I think he sees William's skeleton We saw it once before, but we see William's skeleton hanging in the nest.
Oh, that was William?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's William. What's left of him anyhow.
Yeah. And he, I think, doesn't even say, like, how cliche.
Yeah, I think so. You mean Cody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cody even calls out, he's like, oh, how cliche. And then the skeleton starts attacking him. Still doing the leprechaun's bidding after all these thousands of years.
Cody, get out of my head, would you?
So, I did like the skeletal attack stuff. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. Well, there was one part of it that I did like. Like, at first I was like, eh, whatever. But he manages to kind of hit him against the wall, and then he hits him in the head with a shillelagh. And you see it, like, bash part of the skull in. You think he's down, but then the skeleton comes back, and you can still see part of the head is caved in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought was kind of cool.
And the puppetry in it was actually, well, pretty well done for the budget that you would give
leeway
on this
so.
Film.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
I think the thing that is the most confusing for me is why not spend a budget on better effects than just one little thing where the leprechaun has that specially decorated car? You could have done so much more with the money you spent on that somewhere else.
True. I don't think
only
they spent
had
as much
pot
as you
of
think
gold.
They did on that go-kart.
You should have had a pot of gold. Do you think this budget was a pot?
They clearly just hot glued a bunch of shit they had laying around somebody's special effects like warehouse, but still, they had to pay for the hot glue. They could have used that somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, we're trying to make sense out of the nonsensical.
Or, like, use it for an acting coach for Cody.
There you go.
And,
that would be
Brittany.
Good.
That would be good.
Now, all this time, and I haven't mentioned this, but, like, for a majority of this, Bridget is just still screaming.
Oh, she's screaming.
Yeah. Now, so Cody, at one point, gets trapped in a bunch of roots. And, like, in a tangle of tree roots.
Oh, I
like
was
he's getting,
like,
strangled. Like, he's getting strangled.
VH copies of Roots.
Yep.
The miniseries.
Gets crushed under a pile of TV's Roots. now, so this actually reminded me of, like, when he's tangled up in the roots. Oh, my God. In the roots. It reminded me.
That was easy. That was easy for you to say.
You wish. I wish. It reminded me of Suspiria when she gets tangled up.
Oh, yeah, I can see
that. That's what it made me think of right away. And, like, I think by proxy, I was like, oh, God, because I remember what she went through. And I was like, oh, man, like, this set was such a wreck. It could have been like, sorry, Cody, for real, as if to get the good shot, we're going to really strangle you with roots.
Sorry, Cody.
Sorry, Cody.
Cody.
And it's pretty dangerous. He probably could have gotten some tetanus because some of those look like they were rusted.
God.
And then they sent him
away. And then
they
sent me on my way.
Send me on my way.
Send me on my way.
On my tail. On my tail. Send me on my way.
This is the best. This is what's happening right now.
This is what's happening on our podcast.
This is why we
send me on my way.
This is why we do Leprechaun 2.
For a good Russell Root joke.
Of course, the roots are all an illusion, so he's not really there. He manages to escape and stumbles upon Bridget in the leprechaun's room. So, while the leprechaun was dealing with Cody, Bridget used the awl, like, trying to break her collar off. And she's, like, trying to get the pin out of the back of it. The leprechaun ends up cornering Cody, demanding that he returns his coin. Bridget finally gets the collar undone and throws it at the leprechaun's head and, like, knocks his hat off until he's bald underneath.
Yeah, he's like, no! Yeah. I don't want anyone to know I'm bald, like Trump going up that wind.
It was, yeah, right.
Joke actually worked for me whenever they popped his hat off and he's clearly bald underneath and he has the skullet going.
Yeah.
I laughed my ass off at that.
Yeah, because it was like, you never see it. That was the first time I realized, I never saw that before.
And Warwick sells it really well, too. The way that he screams out, oh, no!
Oh, like I said at the beginning, you can tell he's having so much fun in these movies.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he probably never gets a chance to just have fun in a role. Like, he probably, well, first of all, there's not a lot of acting gigs for a little person, even one of his caliber. And then secondly, they never get characters like this if they do that are just wicked and fun that you can have a blast with. Yeah. So I can see where he would just eat this up.
And imposing and menacing too. Like, he's not, they're not like, oh, hey, little leprechaun. You know, he's holding his own.
Yeah, he is terrifying. I mean, yeah. I wish he had better movies around him because he is really good in this role.
Yeah. The I'm interested in, but leery of the remake, the Origins one. I hear it's really bad.
It is. I gave it a chance and it broke my heart. It's just not very good.
The Leprechaun's completely different, isn't he?
Yeah.
I know it's Hornswoggle, but
the whole movie just, I don't know, like, it's completely forgettable. Like, I know I have watched it, and I remember parts of it, and I know it takes place actually over in Ireland, and then the rest of it is just kind of a wash, and I forgot I even seen the rest of it.
Oh, that's depressing.
It's a really sad ending to what is overall a relatively fun franchise, even though most of the movies are kind of forgettable. But the best parts of it are always Warwick Davis, and he doesn't really kind of hold his own in that film. Like, it just, the rest of the film really drags him down badly.
So, now Cody and Bridget, here's where they do the, this is the thing I was talking about where we have this kind of like weird, goofy moment. So we see three entrances or three different corridors in the Leprechaun's lair. And they run. Yeah, exactly. It's like, I figure the Scooby Doo gang is going to run out of one of them.
Zoinks!
They run into one. Like, they run in the middle and they come out the right one. They run into the left one, they come out the right one. They run into the right, they come out the center. Like, it's just goofy. And at one point, Cody runs out and Bridget is gone. So they get separated. He eventually meets up with her again. And she convinces him, you know, we got to get out of here, but you're going to have to leave the coin behind. And he's like, but yeah, that's the only thing that's stopping him from killing us, though. And she goes, no, like, he'll stop chasing us if you give up the coin. And so Bridget turns on the charm. She kisses him. And so Cody hands her the coin. So Bridget backs away and starts laughing and says, you lose, which I thought it was the only time the overdubbing worked is when it was Warwick Davis overdubbing her voice.
Yeah.
Turns out it was the Leprechaun casting an illusion all along.
Ooh.
So he knocks Cody across the room, which he flies in this. But if you look in the trailer for Leprechaun 2, he shoots a green, like, beam of light at him.
Okay.
I think just to spice up the trailer.
Sure.
But it doesn't actually happen in the movie.
I'm sure that's why people were disappointed when they watched this movie.
So he ends up getting... Leprechaun knocks her across the room and then takes Bridget's hand, intending to lead her to, the wedding bed. And suddenly, Cody jumps up and shoves an iron crowbar, or like the pry bar or whatever, through the Leprechaun's chest. So as the Leprechaun begins to sizzle, and you see it sparking and everything, Cody points out that the gold coin he gave him was actually one of those gold-covered milk chocolate coins from the St. Patrick's Day thing.
He even says something about, make sure that you have a gold coin, motherfucker, or it's chocolate, motherfucker, or something like that.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Leprechaun, who's just sparking and everything, they kind of back away from him, and he ends up just exploding. The explosion was pretty cool.
Yeah.
It was pretty gooey. So it explodes, but then because he's dead, they can now escape the lair. So they get out of it.
Yeah.
And... you know, and the exit basically is revealed to him. So they get out.
She says, like, how did you know that wasn't me? And he says, he kisses different than you.
And I'm like, okay.
And then she asks if it's better, and then he doesn't really say anything and just kind of smiles, and then they kiss.
Yeah. Her kisses are different.
Yeah.
I've made out with plenty with the leprechaun. Trust me, you're not that good. So then she basically is talking about him keeping that coin, but he doesn't want it and basically says, hey, it's not worth it. He tosses it to the ground. They kiss, and then we zoom in on the gold coin, and I'm thinking, are we going to see something leprechaunish happen?
Right.
And nothing.
And
the
nothing.
End.
And the end, and you've been deuced.
Yep.
So that is Leprechaun 2, and that's awesome. So,
yeah.
Court and Dev, what were your two, which were your favorite kills in this movie?
There's only five.
Yeah, there's only five, but I want to know.
Well, I revealed mine already, so I'll just give it again.
Yeah,
it's the steam machine, the way that melt happens was really cool. That was probably my favorite.
Yeah.
I did like the way that he duped that guy into putting his face in the lawnmower.
The lawnmower. The lawnmower boobs.
Yeah.
Lawnmower boobs was my favorite, too.
Yeah. I think they could have done so much more with it, too.
Yeah, they could have.
But you were just like, oh, shit. Like, it was kind of that gruesome moment that, you know, you just knew was coming. So,
well, interesting story. The wife and I watched this tonight right before we were getting ready to record. And then we decided to go ahead and make dinner. And she asked me while we were making dinner, did we finish the movie? And I went, yes, sweetie, we did.
Yeah.
She's like, what happened at the end? I'm like, exactly.
Exactly. It's just one of those, like, it's just.
I really forgot. I'm like, did we stop it before the ending? I don't know. Yeah.
I forget a lot about this movie. And you just watch it, like, the day before, and you're like, wait, oh, yeah, that happened.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's very odd. So that's what we thought of the movie, but let's hear what other people thought of the movie. This comes from Catherine Grace Zay. She gives it a 9 out of 10. Says, very clever and hip horror film you'll love, which will leave you feeling good. Well, I don't know about feeling good, Catherine, but whatever. Leprechaun 2, in my opinion, is a very clever and hip horror movie you'll love, which will leave you feeling good. The only thing about it that scared me, like the first two, were some of the blood and gore, which the leprechaun, Warwick Davis, suddenly appeared or jumped out of nowhere. Other than that, I didn't get scared at all. Before I wrap this up, I'd like to say that everyone involved in this film did an outstanding job. In conclusion, what is she writing, like a grade school paper?
She played Bridget.
In conclusion, to all of the horror film lovers that you have seen this very clever and hip horror film you'll love, which will leave you feeling good, I highly recommend it. You're in for a good time as well. Okay. So this comes from Jesse Goering. And I got to read this verbatim.
Okay.
Gives it a 3 out of 10, 1994, he says. One of the movies that have ever been made. Many happened. It happened upon people. A weird power dynamic played out sexual, then dollar amount was paid to compensate. It's called business. People do it all the time. In addition to the plot of Leprechaun 2, there was a short actor originally from England. He did a job in America. In America, the short actor will call a Warwick. He sat in makeup chair for hours on end so he might be immortalized as a monster from a horror movie franchise. Warwick Davis is a talented actor, capable of range and depth that few can match. His most famous role will be this, the leprechaun, and any short actor in Hollywood will kill for this role. WTF.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. That's his review.
That literally just made my head hurt.
Well, technically, I think he wrote the screenplay for this movie, too.
That is clearly a Russian bot. It's not enough that they've destroyed our elections. Now they're going to start reviewing our horror films.
They're really pushing for Leprechaun 2 to be our number one horror film.
Damn it. I knew it.
I am reviewing your film, Ski. I like film very much, Ski. Warwick Davis, sexy bot killer, amazing actor, Ski.
All right, guys. I want to get to the five questions here real quick. What was everybody's favorite part of the movie.
Well, Warwick Davis was my favorite Park. I mean, that's yeah. just a hearsay. And Morty. The guy that played Morty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The very beginning stuff with Warwick Davis, where he's actually in ancient Ireland, for me, I really enjoyed that. And I kind of wish that if they were going to do the origin story, they would have gone that far back. Even in spite of the lower budget, they could have still done a few things like in the countryside or in a historic cottage, and that would be a Leprechaun story worth watching.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
You, Bev?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think about it.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard.
Is there anything that you can pull out that you would like?
I think the drinking game going back and forth. I mean, that was kind of fun.
Yes.
Drunk Leprechaun's pretty fun.
Yeah, drunk Leprechaun.
Yeah, that is really funny. I agree.
Well, yeah. It's almost like a classic, like, Leprechaun, like, fairy tale kind of thing, just told in a modern setting. That I kind of liked that part, too.
Yeah.
And actually, the one thing that I did like was that dynamic between... I love what Warwick Davis does, but when it's Warwick Davis and then he's up against Sandy Baron, the guy who plays Morty, I love those interactions. And I love how Morty immediately is dismissive of the Leprechaun, but then, like, he's very much like, this is, you know, he's all about the lore after a little bit.
Disappointing that Clint Howard didn't get killed in the movie. I wanted him to get killed for some reason. I don't know why.
Because your strong dislike for Clint Howard.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
He had little more than a cameo, and I think he probably, if he would have had a more prominent role, you know, they could have probably worked something in where he gets killed with the knockoff Victoria Jackson from Twin Peaks.
Victoria Waxon.
Her acting was like that. So, yeah.
So, okay, so this is our version of Bang, Marry, Kill.
It is.
Would you reboot, continue, or cancel? Based on this movie alone.
I'd kill it. Based on this movie alone.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
You know,
I don't know. I think they could do a better job in rebooting it.
Yeah. I would say I would kind of want it to be almost like a reboot cool, like where I want it to be rebooted, but I still would want Warwick Davis. Like, to me, the Leprechaun franchise without him is just nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would go with reboot as well, and like I said earlier, I want to see it in actually ancient times in Ireland, and not just with a leprechaun. He just happens to be the main baddie, and maybe there's other folklore-type creatures that are involved in this, and they make deals and things like that, and, you know, something happens with the leprechaun's gold, and, you know, he tries to get revenge on it, and he can still be twisted and evil with his magic. I think it would work really well that way.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's just I'm not a fan of the Leprechaun movies. I get why they became popular.
They have so much, but I think they
have potential.
It had potential to be something, and it just got caught in that really weird time where...
It really did. It was a weird time for horror.
Do you think this movie, just based on this movie, does it stand on its own?
I don't know.
Think it does. Because I really don't think you need to know anything from the
first
movie.
It's like Court said, I don't really think he's the same leprechaun as the first one, right? I mean, is he?
No, they're all different. I think it does stand on its own.
So, you don't really need to know about the first one to really know this one.
Right. What do you think, Bev?
Yeah, I think it's stand on its own. I don't remember anything about the first one, so.
Yeah. And I didn't feel lost like there was...
And Bev didn't know anything about the second one after she watched it, too.
That's true.
I will probably forget everything that happens in it by tomorrow morning be like mixing it up with part 3 or 4. And didn't this happen? And isn't that when Ice-T and him smoke a joint together in the bathroom?
Matt, that is a fun part. You know what my favorite part of the Leprechaun series is? Each one of the DVD covers has a different like color to it. Like yellow, blue, red, green, whatever. I don't know. That's my favorite part now.
Wow.
I know. Tells you something.
Small things.
Does this movie make you want to watch the first one?
Actually, it did for me. Yeah. It made me want to go back and watch it again because I remember really enjoying that one a lot.
even though I don't like them, it did kind of make me want to.
Yeah.
I kind of wanted to see that dynamic and I want of what's her bucket from Friends.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, Jennifer Aniston. I'm sorry. Yeah, Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, pre-nose.
Was the first one better than the second one?
Yeah, it's a little bit better. It definitely is gorier, and there's a lot more kills to it.
I think I'd want to forget
Isn't there only three kills, three or four kills in the first one?
I remember it being a lot more than that because a lot of different people end up with the gold. Because what happens is the guy get it from a different time period, like the 1930s or 1940s in Ireland, then comes over to the States and builds a house and lives there and has been distributing the gold out and selling it off to kind of just live off of. And so the leprechaun has to go and hunt it down piece by piece. So he kills. Yeah. I feel like it's more than three, but it's definitely not like a really high body count film. But I definitely just the pogo stick thing sticks in my mind where the guy's bouncing on the guy's chest. It just sticks with me.
Yeah, personally speaking, it does make me want to watch the first one. Like, I kind of want to see what it maybe could have been. I think the first movie might show you that a little bit more than this one did, for sure. Okay, and the last question, and Bevancourt, we'll circle around to you here. We always want to try to sum up our experiences in two words. So, Bradley.
Oh, unlucky sequel.
Unlucky sequel?
Yeah. I wasn't too excited about this movie.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say Lousy Leprechaun. Because I think the movie was pretty lousy. I think it could have been I don't know that this one could have been so much more, but I know the franchise probably could have been. And seeing where this one took it kind of is disappointing to me. Because I would have liked to see it be something else. I think it really could have stood the test of time had it been done right. Porter Bev?
Diminishing returns.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And you get to that point where it's. it hit its diminishing return, point of diminishing return so early, too.
Yeah. Very early.
Ugh. All right. Bev, how about you?
Oh, that's hard. Let's think. Shamrock Bleeds.
There you go.
There you go.
I like Shamrock that. Bleeds.
I like that.
I also hate that this is the one that is on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, this is the one that you did that with? But, all right. Well, that should wrap us up for today. Once again, we want to thank Court and Bev for coming on and being our guests. We were really, really excited for you to join us here.
I was
today.
Really excited.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Thanks
it was
a
really
lot.
Fun.
Practicing. I'm trying to get out of my box right now.
He's pantomiming his box.
My mime.
It is not very good.
It's great.
It is not.
I'm pulling a rope.
That's a great mime podcast. Yeah.
Where you describe everything.
My God.
You gave me an idea.
All right. The audio descriptive services for a mime's act is your podcast.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Fantastic. I have to write some stuff down. Hold on.
Well, thank you again, guys, for being here. We're super excited to have you on. And thank you for enduring through this movie.
Any last words, guys? Bev, any last words?
You owe us one for that.
We do. We actually do.
No.
We do.
No, you guys are great. Thanks.
I'll be coming over with Canadian whiskey for you.
Oh, delicious.
Oh, geez.
Delish.
Delish.
Whiskey. So, guys, so you can find, for those of you who don't know yet, you can find the Deuce Podcast at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com.
What?
Stitcher.
No.
iTunes.
You're serious.
Google Play.
Yeah, I knew that one.
And go ahead and check out our Facebook page. We post different things there, interesting stories. Plus, we see some of our other friends post their podcasts, such as the Cinema PsyOps podcast. And you can also find us on Twitter.
Wait, we have a Twitter?
We do have a Twitter. Get out. Finally got that set up and going. So you can find us there at Deuce Podcast.
Yeah.
There. So,
yeah.
And of course, you know, check us out, and we'll often retweet and hashtag other podcasts as well.
In court, where can everyone find you again?
Yeah, easiest place for the show itself is legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops. That'll lead you to where you can get our feed for subscribing, and then you can just do a Google search for, or search in your podcast catcher, you know, for the aggregated feeds and stuff like that. On Facebook, I'm Court PsyOps. I have a Cinema PsyOps group there on Facebook as well that you can search out and find. And on Twitter, I am at Court_PsyOps.
All right. Bev, will you say something for me?
Yeah, you can find me nowhere. So
no,
don't
no.
Look.
I want you to say something. I want you to say the sequel is king.
What?
That's their motto, honey.
Oh, the sequel is king?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I say it in the...
yeah. You did it.
You did it. Thanks, guys.
Nice. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank you.